Good morning, everybody. It is November 3rd, 2025 at 7:30 in the morning. Today's my wedding anniversary. JP and I are celebrating our 8 years of marriage today. We were married on November 3rd, 2017. So we find it very interesting that the number 8 also symbolizes, if you turn it to its side, it symbolizes the sign for infinity, or the Ouroboros, which is that infinity symbol where the snake eats its own tail. So here we are in the year of the snake, celebrating our 8th wedding anniversary. Of course, these things fascinate me. You'll have to excuse me if my voice is a little rough. I'm at the tail end of this really bad cough, which some of you may be aware of what's going on with me physically. Some of you may not. I've actually had people tell me I don't want to know, because I think it's just too much to handle, so that's fine. I had an attempt at a TEE, which is a transesophageal echocardiogram, which is where they stick a tube down your throat and down into your esophagus, and you have to swallow it. And there's a camera at the end of it, and what it does is it takes a picture of your heart. Apparently, they found a tumor in my heart, I want to say, like, October 27th, and then by October 29th, they wanted to do this more comprehensive scope of the heart, and they couldn't get the tube down my esophagus because my esophagus is riddled with cartilage from issues from when I was a kid, having to do with my autoimmune illness. So they have to instead do an MRI of the heart, which is happening in Mobile, Alabama, on December 4th. But in the meantime, this Thursday on November 6th, I have that court date with the San Jose County, California probate court with my brothers, where we will move forward into trying to find out what happened to my grandmother. And the only way that we can really discover what happened is we have to follow the money. And the only way to follow the money is to get access to bank accounts. And the only way to access bank accounts is to have a judge approve us as the next of kin in according to intestate law. So most of you have wills, most of you have family documents or some kind of family trust language that states, you know, who is your relative and who can have access to information about you, whether it's your health information, whether it's your monetary or financial information. Most of you have that. Well, I think my grandmother had it, but she had a cadre of criminals surrounding her for decades that destroyed all this evidence. So, and then kidnapped her and moved her across state lines without notifying the next of kin, which would have been me and my brothers. So it just so happened that just by accident, this woman contacted me, one of the criminals contacted me on July 1st and said, you know, I have some information about your grandmother. And she never told me that she had gone to court to try to open up all the bank accounts and get the court to support her. In doing that, she lied to the court and said that she was a long-lost great niece. This just, and you know, a lot of you know this story already, so I don't need to belabor it, but that is sort of where we are now. So I was able to kick her out. I was able to get a minute order from the judge that proclaimed that she is a fraud, which I will eventually present to the police. If it wasn't the year of the fucking snake and we weren't plagued with, you know, attacks on our life, whether it's, you know, my physical situation, my health situation trying to kill me, or whether it's, you know, my husband's boss trying to destroy his reputation, destroy his job security. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably be a lot farther along with this probate slash investigation and all that stuff into my grandmother's, you know, into what actually happened to her. But step by step, you know, day by day, we're just, you know, we're taking it, you know, sort of taking it on the chin. Like, this whole year, this entire year has been probably like one of the most stressful, like, just mangled years of our entire life. Like, most people, what they experience in what we've experienced in the last 11 months or the last 10 months, because we just started November. Most people have experienced this like in a lifetime. Like, it takes 80 or 90 years to go through what we have experienced in 10 months. It has been horrific. It has been of a nightmare level of stress, of just unbelievable, catastrophic, life-ending ordeals. And yet we're just still breathing. Like, I literally told someone the other day, every single day is an accomplishment if I can take a breath, if my heart is still beating, if I can go 5 minutes without pain. Every single day is an accomplishment if my husband's predatory and psychopathic boss isn't trying to destroy everything about him. And if you hear the urgency in my voice, and if I am a little bit loud, and if it's off-putting, oh, I'm sorry. But this is the world we live in now. So what we've discovered is that the only way that we can make sense of this is through the discovery that what is happening to us on a micro level, where it's an assassination attempt, okay, is probably around the corner for the rest of the year, for the rest of the world on a macro, right? So typically this is what happened. So in 2013, 2014, I wrote about this in a long Medium article, like about a year ago, I guess. so my dates might be a little bit off, but somewhere around 2014 or 2015 or so, JP sat on the couch and he told me, I feel compressed. I feel as if my soul is being crushed and my body is being crushed under the weight of being out of work. And so what he experienced on the micro in 2014, 2015 or so is what people are experiencing now on the macro. The soul crushing, like, knowledge that this country and this world is out to destroy, you know, human beings and take away their job security, take away their life, take away their income. So much of what we experience it first on a micro, on a very personal level. And so at the end of the day, the only way that we can wrap our heads around the year of the snake is, for us personally, is to say, okay, universe, God, whatever, Holy Mother, whatever, you're telling us that what we have to experience today will be experienced in the very new future, or it is starting to be experienced by people in general out there in the world on the macro. That's the only way that we can really, you know, wrap our heads around why this is happening. And some people are weird and they go, well, what did you do? You must be a really bad person. So we've been following a lot of Carl Jung's teachings, and we've been listening to a lot of his followers and a lot of people who move in those thought patterns. And it has to do with consciousness rising. It has to do with individuation and basically finding that as an empath, you are often targeted. But empath doesn't mean that you pick up the pain of others and that you process it and carry it around, and that you have to live in this constant state of tragic responses to other people's pain, right? Empath typically means that you are, that you're individuating, that you're going on some higher frequencies, that you're starting to show less and less offense at the people in the world and starting to see the way the world really works. And, you know, we've always been like that, right? We've always been like that. We always knew that everything from election cycles to the food that we eat that's processed to the medical industrial complex to all of these really obvious things, we've all been sort of aware of what's going on. But then there's the not so obvious. There's the not so, there's that delicate intricacies of personal relationships where we've picked it apart and looked at it and studied it and realized, you know, that we're living on a completely different frequency. And so as a result of that frequency, we have to individuate. We have to transform. We have to rise a little bit. You might get to a point where you see people at their saturation point and they will fall off a cliff. You know, they'll take their own life or they just give way to the shallow mechanisms of the world. I know that this is all very just kind of oblique and I'm not being very specific. It's hard to speak specifically about individuation and about consciousness when you're just, you know, deciding to do like a 15-minute audio check-in. I encourage you to go back and read my latest piece on any of the sites, whether you're a patron or whether you, subscribe to the Medium page or the Book of Hours Substack page. Just, you know, take a look at that. It could offer some insight. That is my cat in the background. She is not responding very well to the cold weather, and she does not like it when the cold weather comes and she gets very whiny and very upset. So if you hear her meowing in the background, that's what's going on. So Thursday. Thursday is the probate meeting. The judge is going to take a look at all the paperwork I filed and decide if I filed it correctly and give me... Either she'll say, you didn't file it correctly and you need to do it again, or I need more information, or everything's good and I can go ahead and name you as the administrator in your grandmother's name. And then what I will do is I will have to write to the court clerk and pay a bunch of fees to get that order, or they're called the letters of administration, get them mailed to me, certified copies, and everything takes months and weeks, and it just, everything just takes forever. So the criminals started this process back in February of this year, and we didn't know about it until July. So I had to basically start the process over after I was able to kick her out in August. So this is where we are. So as soon as the judge meets with me on Thursday, remotely, of course, with my brothers there to support this, then we will be able to start the investigation and the audit into what happened to my grandmother. This isn't about money. There is no money. The woman was poor, lived in a rent-controlled apartment, didn't have any property, and all the criminals that surrounded her basically just ransacked her life. So there isn't any money. What I'm trying to do is get to the bottom of what happened to her. And like any decent investigator will tell you, the only way you can get to the bottom of anything in life is to follow the money. And so opening up the bank accounts and being able to see like what charges were made, what withdrawals were made. I mean, there is a non-relative, somebody who she's not even related to, who was able to purchase like a couple of houses in her name. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, there's just nothing left. And now he's some sort of political person in Wisconsin, right? So, I mean, so my brothers, you know, I'm hoping that they understand that. I think that they're really just hoping that there's some money. And I'm like, look, you guys, you can't count on money. There is no money. They took it all. And I've been trying to like express this to them for a while now, that, you know, the woman was surrounded by criminals and people who were committing fraud and liars and gaslighters and abusers. I mean, it was so bad. Some of the stuff that was done to her that was told to me over the phone by the nursing home that she lived in when she died in 2021 and the former property manager where she lived in the rent controlled, you know, she lived on the poor end of town. I mean, she was poor. So they just, like vultures, they just descended on whatever she had in life. And in 2018, she had a panic attack and called a friend that was my friend's, was a friend to my father when they were younger. And this man has been really instrumental in helping us get to the bottom of what happened. But she called him in 2018. He was the last good person to see her alive. Last time I saw her alive was in 2017. And then just a few months later, I moved out of California. So, you know, it has been a very difficult time and only compounded and only made that much worse by the horrible attacks on my husband at his job. So, you know, these things aren't happening to us because we're open to bad things happening to us. These things are happening because they are meant to happen when you individuate and when you are living in a space of empathy and you are an empathy-driven individual and you're an empath. The darker forces out there, you know, I hate to sound all woo about this, but the darker forces out there target individuals just like us, you know. And that's what's basically going on in the world right now. There's some serious shit going down as far as how dark things really are. I mean, everybody witnessed a public assassination and nobody is even talking about it in any real meaningful way. Nobody is even going, oh my God, we witnessed a public assassination. Which to me shows that we have a problem in society. You know, it's very concerning that there's public assassinations going on and nobody's even talking about it in any meaningful way. So this tells me that the level of narcissism and psychopathy that has, you know, infiltrated our modern world and our life is so normalized now that, you know, public assassinations will take place and no one will even have any meaningful conversation around it. That's pretty fucking fucked up, you know? So I think that, you know, there's so much to talk about. There's so much to express and so much to discover when it comes to individuation. But I guess it's broken down into, you know, types of people and, you know, different personality types. We saw some individuation. We saw a crumb, a granule of individuation during the COVID experience when people, you know, fought the mask and fought the closure of businesses and fought the shot and all that stuff and decided to be individuate and show that they, you know, weren't going to fall prey to, you know, to narcissistic and psychopathic messaging around, like, the whole COVID fraud, right? But see, that was the beginning conversation. That was the beginning of the conversation. It wasn't the end of it. It was the beginning of it. I don't think that the people who, this is my personal opinion, I don't think that the individuals who fought the mask, fought the COVID narrative, risked, you know, their livelihoods, lost jobs. Not all of them anyway. There are some that do, but I don't think that many of them have the full scope of what's next. I think that there still needs to be more individuation and more. Oh my God, cat, what? Here. And more understanding of what's going on in the world. I think that the conversation around COVID and fighting the COVID narrative and fighting the shot and fighting the mask and standing up for yourself and doing, you know, what you felt was right for you and all that, I think that's the beginning of the conversation. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And a lot of people are treating it as if it's the end of the conversation, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Then you have individuals within that COVID narrative that stood up for themselves, but they never felt the pain. So how many of you, raise your hand, how many of you got threatened with a black eye or to get your arm broken because you wouldn't wear a mask on a public bus? You can't really raise your hand to that, can you? Well, I can. And so can JP. He was abused horribly by bus drivers, and so was I. And that's just the beginning of the conversation. A lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people who didn't really wear a mask or didn't get a shot and, you know, stood up for themselves during the COVID trial, they never really felt any pain from that. They still had job security. The friends that maybe, like, momentarily rebuffed them and denied them, or family that rebuffed or denied them, have, you know, come back around. Over the last couple of years, there's been a meeting of the minds, and it's as if it never happened. And all is well and all is forgiven. So you didn't lose friends, you didn't lose a job, your life wasn't threatened. So was there really any growth? Was there really any individuation? Did you ever really have to do deep, transcendent, like, shadow work? Did you ever have to take a look at those the deep dark shadow personalities that are doing things like committing open executions in front of you? You know, I'm talking about Charlie Kirk, of course. Whether it's real or not, it doesn't matter. We were all meant to see an open execution. And no one's talking about it, not in any real meaningful way. People might be trying to investigate it and find out and do the whole whodunit thing, but that's not actual investigation into the shadow. That's not talking about the dark personality that started the conversation with COVID. So I'm not sure that as the conversation into psychopathy, open murder, actual attacks on your well-being, I'm not sure that conversation, as it continues, will be managed correctly by individuals who, at the end of the day, after 4 or 5 years, at the end of the day, they still came out of the COVID experience smelling like a rose. They're still employed. They still have all the friends and family that they had prior to COVID. Maybe for a brief flicker, those people fell off your radar and fell off your circle, but they're back in. I'm not sure that, you know, that what's around the corner on the macro can even be conceived of. Oh, it's actually not around the corner. It's happening now. Can even be conceptualized in a mind that has never really, truly initiated into, like, fire. So we'll see what happens. You know, there's all sorts of different levels of people that will be coming out in this experience. You know, we are in this really strange time right now. We're cycling into another sort of type of existence, you know. People are still operating as if it's the 20th century. They're still saying things like, stop bailing out banks and war is bad. It's like, okay, those things are 20th century and even 19th century problems that caused economic collapse throughout the globe. What we're dealing with now is much more insidious and not so obvious. There are no wars. Banks aren't collapsing. That's not the issue. The issue is psychopathy. The issue is open murder. The issue is open execution. The issue is that there are people that are just skating by, that they began their conversation around their fight for sovereignty within COVID, and then they ended the conversation there as well because they survived it. So I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not convinced, okay? I'm one of the few that's not convinced. So you'll have, what you have are individuals like JP and myself who are okay with being hated. Part of being hated is required if you want to transform and if you want to individuate. It sort of is a warrior nature. You have to be okay with being hated. So there are those individuals. And within those individuals that are like, fine, whatever, I'm fucking hated, I don't care. Within those individuals, you'll have some that break off and live within their shadow, and they become psychopaths, and they become, they maintain their empath nature, and they sort of become like Jesus-like characters, where they do good and they are good and they represent good and wholeness and wholesomeness, right? I'm not saying that JP and I are either one of those. That's not what I'm saying, because we're still processing our new breakthrough, right? our new transformational selves, right? So, but within those who are like accepting the fact that part of the transformation experience comes with being hated, and it's kind of necessary, some will break off to be, you know, psychopaths, and some will maintain their sort of Jesus Christ-like qualities, like doing good, being good, okay? And then in this, you know, next phase of our evolution, we're also going to have individuals that never really, like, no one hates them. Those are the most dangerous individuals, in my opinion. I mean, I'm learning more and more by reading more and more about Carl Jung and listening to and reading his followers and sort of their, you know, assimilating all of this different information about the shadow. I'm learning that the people that, you know, like no one has an issue with, like imagine yourself in high school, right? And you've got groups of people in high school, which is usually where it starts. You've got like cheerleaders, you've got, you know, the people who smoke, you've got the creative types, you've got maybe the gay culture, but there's always this group of individuals that weave in and out of each society, and nobody has a problem with them. Oh, they're so nice. So whether you're like a drug addict, oh yeah, we love that person. Or whether you're in the gay culture, oh yeah, we love that person. Or whether you're, you know, a cheerleader, oh yeah, that person is great. Like nobody has a problem with this person. Nobody hates them. Like they don't have any controversy around them. To me, those are the most dangerous people. Because it's not just that they're going to toe the party line, but it's just that they don't have an edge. That they're so obsessed with every single person liking them that when there are public executions in the street and when and they're the reasons why the psychopaths have taken over. Because you don't have, because you have a large section of the population which believes the bullshit. No, just get along with everybody. Just get along with everybody. Don't be controversial. You know, make sure that you're nice to everybody. Treat everybody equally. Okay? And those are the people that have allowed the psychopathy and the predatory behavior to really thrive and now has complete control over our existence, especially in this country. Because if you don't stand for anything, then you fall for anything, right? So, I mean, I hate to use that cliche, but these are the individuals that everybody gets along with them. They're super nice. Everybody loves them. And those are the most dangerous types, in my opinion. I had a conversation with a friend recently who has a cousin that's one of these types. And both JP and I, immediately we were on the phone with him, we both immediately went, oh my God, this person is not to be trusted. Yeah, but guys, she's so nice. She does everything for everybody. She has a million friends. Everybody loves her. She's so sweet. She's so kind. Uh-huh. Yeah, those are the worst types. So I kind of feel like we're circling into a new paradigm of ethics. And those individuals, and even if they were able to fight, you know, the COVID, again, which is, again, it's the beginning of the conversation, not the end of it, right? If they were able to even fight the COVID language, like, I'm not going to get a shot, I'm not going to wear a mask, I'm not going to do any of your bullshit. And they're lifted up as sort of like heroes, like, oh my God, you were so strong and you're so great and you lost friends, but you gained them back and everything's fine and da-da-da. Okay. Even then, it's not enough. So as we transition into open executions, Starvation on the Rise, and all of these like really dark, dark, shadowy personality types that are implementing policy and processes that destroy lives and destroy people. You'll see these different personality types come out. You'll see the people like me and JP who are fine with being hated. We just have to decide whether we're going to, you know, go into the psychopath mode or whether we're going to stay in sort of the Jesus Christ do good, you know, mode. Of course, we're going to do the latter, I would hope. I mean, right? And then we're going to see the ones that nothing bad ever happens to them. Everybody loves them. They're surrounded by people that, you know, lift them up and have nothing but good things and respect to say about them. Nothing except respect for them and good things to say about them. So that's fine. Then you're going to get the individuals that are just bitter and wallowing and living in a constant state of pain and a constant state of depression and darkness because they've been blind to everything. Those people are the most pitiable, I think that's the word, the most pitiful, the ones that we can feel much compassion for. Those are the people that are not necessarily going out of their way to seek any kind of, you know, popularity or relevance, or they're not even trying to do good things. They are just sort of at the mercy of what's going on in the world, and they're confused. So there are those people. Those people can be informed. And of those people, you'll have different sections. Like, you can go to these people and you can say, here, let me inform you about what's going on. Now, all you have to do is individuate while integrating, and you can become a stronger person. And here are the tools to help you survive, because Julie and JP over here are surviving Year of the Snake. We've had assassination attempt after assassination attempt on our bodies and our livelihoods since January 1st, 2025. So here are the tools for survival. And some of those people who are in those deep, 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 dark, like, spaces where they refuse to look at the way the world really is, some of those people will go, I've woken up. Thank you for the tools. Let's move forward. Let's fight this together. Okay. Some of those people will throw the tools back in your face and say, oh no, I'm going to live in my, you know, my state of delusion. I'm going to believe whatever I'm told. I'm going to live in this space of pain and agony and darkness. And you just have to go, okay, well, you made your choice, you know. We live next door to people like that. We also have become close to and friendly with people who are curious about our tools for survival. So, you know, that's good. And then you have the people that are of the class. They have so much money and they're so well supported. And I'm not talking about like the untouchable class. I'm talking about like the relatable class. And you all have them in your life. You're related to them. You're friends with them. These are the people that have, you know, cushy bank accounts, and they'll be okay no matter what. Who are aware of what's going on. They're fully cognizant of the treachery and the shadow and the darkness that is taking over, you know, the world. But they still will live comfortably. They don't really have to make that many sacrifices, and they will say public executions are wrong, starving 42 million people by taking them off of SNAP benefits is wrong, forcing, you know, 170 inoculations into children before the age of two is wrong, but they're still comfortable. And those are the people that will support the people like me and JP. They say, okay, you guys have gone through and continue to go through your initiation through trial by fire. So it's kind of like the Hunger Games, you know, where Katniss Everdeen went through her trial by fire, and the well-off, well-to-do types were sending little gifts via drone to her when she was in the obstacle course that could kill her. You know, so those are the individuals that, you know, I'm proud, and I'm frustrated that I can't be more like those people, where I can, like, you know, send my drones of food or weaponry or money to the Katniss Everdeens of the world. I'm like District 13. I'm Katniss Everdeen, unfortunately. I've got to, like, make sure that, you know, the little ones that don't have the means to protect themselves are protected. And so I'm going to need help from individuals. Sorry about the paper sound. I'm putting stuff away. So I'm going to need the individuals that have the means to support me, whether it's through friendships or through, you know, food or whatever. You know, so a lot of this sort of integrating while individuating comes with a humility and a humbleness that is harder for me to rationalize, because I don't want to admit that I need anybody. I don't want to admit that. But we're basically witnessing public executions and the starvation of 42 million people, and we're witnessing the execution of innocent babies. We're in about the darkest place that you could ever possibly imagine. And it's not only happening on the macro, it's happening on the micro as well. You've got sick, sick people like JP's boss. She's a sick individual, a sickness. There is a sickness in her heart and a sickness in her brain. And she has done everything in her power to try to kill him. Kill his reputation, kill his income, kill his survival instinct. And she's failing because we have spent hours and days and weeks responding using the written word and standing up for ourselves. But those people on the micro, you know, they're your bosses, they're your, you know, your church leaders or your church administrators, even not even leaders, but just like the people who, you know, manage the church's affairs. They're individuals who sit on your school board. They're the individuals that decide, you know, how much local taxes you're going to have to pay for something else that you can't afford. You know, it's like those individuals have become so prevalent, like, in our society now. They used to be in the background. They used to not have any power. So as we integrate into public executions, the starvation of 42 million people, you know, executions of babies, and the just turning babies into these malignant creatures that are constantly sick or dying because of all the shots, and all of the other things that are wrong with society. Those are just the top three that I can think of off the top of my head, but all of the other nuanced things that no one ever talks about that identify a society that has transcended into darkness. So this is another type of individual you're going to get, the predator, the psychopath, who were at one point, 25, 30, 40 years ago, in the background, and they had no power, and they had no influence, and now they're at the forefront, influencing policy, influencing where your taxes go, influencing whether you're able to eat, influencing how you can raise your own kids, influencing, you know, whether you have a job or not, and you can afford to pay your mortgage and live your life. These people used to be not as influential as they are today. So something happened in society which allowed them to suddenly become more powerful. And so in order to really address what's going on in the world, we have to address our part in allowing these people to have this much control and power. What did we do? Did we get too comfortable? Did we get too lazy? Were we too obsessed with everybody liking us? Were we too obsessed with, oh my God, I can't have anybody hate me. Everybody needs to like me. You know, were we too obsessed with that? Were we just like, I don't want to deal with controversy. Keep me off of your phone list. I don't want to deal with all this controversy. You know, sticking your fingers in your ears and your hands over your eyes when things get a little uncomfortable, you know. And we're so easy to go, oh, well, those people did that over there when they took the shot and they put on the mask and they followed all the COVID rules. But we didn't. No, no, no. That's the beginning of the conversation. That's not the end. You don't put a punctuation mark and a period at the end of that story, at the end of that conversation. It just begins. So, you know, we have all these different types of people that I just mentioned, and I think I mentioned about five. And these are the types of people that are going to either continue the, you know, the shadow, the collective shadow that's taking over civilization, or they're going to continue to shed light on it. And I think those that support the empaths that are integrating and individuating and transcending, those people are also individuating and transcending at the same time, and they just have the means to not be harmed. And those are the people that we should try to align with. But within those sections of people, there are false people. Like, for instance, the Elon Musks of the world. He talks about how he wants to support the individuation process. He talks about how he wants to support empowerment of people and how he wants to, you know, support people in getting out of these oppressive dark times. And yet there isn't any of that coming from him. His actions show otherwise, right? Oh, there is one other person that I forgot to mention that's part of this, you know, again, moving into the darkest places of humanity that we've ever seen in the history of the world. Open executions, starving 42 million people, forcing, you know, poisons into babies before the age of two, all that kind of stuff. Those are the, again, those are just the obvious. Then there's, like I said, there's a whole list of not so obvious, more nuanced, actionable items that could define a very dark society. The other individual is the influencer. I totally forgot about this person. The Scott Adams of the world, who has something like Stockholm Syndrome, where he lifts up Elon Musk and Donald Trump as if they are the heroes. He will witness the absolute destruction and degradation of a society, the, you know, the slaughtering of millions of people in public executions here in the United States through whatever means necessary. He will talk about how it's the golden age. He will literally gaslight his followers and gaslight himself into believing that we're in some sort of utopian space right now and moving into a phase of enlightenment and golden age while the house is on fire, while the public executions are taking place, while 42 million people go starving. Those are dangerous people too, because they are, you know, supported by the oppressors and are, you know, paid and probably threatened to gaslight the public. So you have that going on as well. So I'm going to break down the different types of people that I talked about, and then I'm going to let you go because it's been about an hour. And obviously you can tell that my voice is just shot. So let's start with the most recent. We've got the gaslighters and the influencers who will gaslight the world into believing that we live in the golden age and an age of enlightenment when it's about the darkest time that we've ever lived in. Okay. You've got individuals that say, I don't care if I'm hated. I'm going through my individuation process. This is a part of me recognizing my shadow self. And in order to fight the darkness, I have to recognize the darkness within myself. I'm individuating, and the process of individuation sheds light on other people's failures, and nobody likes to be told that they're a failure, so those individuals who are individuating and shedding light end up becoming hated. And it's okay to be hated. Hated means that you are progressing. Some individuals who are in the process of individuating and living in a more enlightened space within their own micro world, like JP and I are, some of them will fall prey to the dark side. And some of them will stay on, you know, doing the good works, you know, following the Jesus model, okay? So those types of people will fracture in this dark age that we're in. Then you have the third individual that says, I'm aware of the dark age we're in. I'm aware of the darkness of the world. I'm aware of it. I'm completely on board with needing to individuate. I will recognize my shadow self. And those are the individuals that will never feel pain. For whatever reason, they are immune from pain. JP and I are not those individuals. They don't get sick. They don't have job loss. They don't have income issues. They have a nice, you know, a nice cushy life. Those are the individuals that are going to recognize us, like me and JP, and say, how can we help? Okay, so we need those individuals as well. And then you'll have a separate sort of an offshoot of those individuals who are like, I just want everybody to like me. As long as I just keep, you know, being a good person and don't cause any waves at work, and do my good deeds, and everybody will like me, because I grew up believing, whether it was through my culture or my religion or my influence from my parents, I grew up believing that if people don't like me, then I'm a bad person. And so I've got to continue to be liked and loved and appreciated. And it doesn't matter if I'm hanging out with the cheerleaders, or I'm hanging out with the creatives, or I'm hanging out with, you know, the smokers, or I'm hanging out with the losers. Everyone in the world loves me. Those are dangerous individuals. Some of them live in a space of complete denial about the shadow, the collective shadow that's taking over the world. Some of them are aware of the collective shadow that's taking over the world, but haven't really had to suffer. So those two types, those individuals will break, also fracture into two types of people. And then, of course, what was the other one? And then the one which is probably the first one that I mentioned, which are the people that live in complete and total denial about the darkness. They're a lot like the gaslighters, you know, the influencers of the world, like the Scott Adams and the Joe Rogans of the world. But they're not popular by any stretch. They don't, you know, even CNN is too intellectual for them. You know what I mean? Like, they just live in this complete space of total denial. Climate change is weather. It's perfectly normal to have snowstorms on the Gulf Coast. It's perfectly normal to see certain regions of the country destroyed by storms and hurricanes. It's perfectly fine to vaccinate your children. It's, you know, and they just live in this like total space of denial, compliance, and some of them are really radically attached to that space of denial and compliance and will fight to the death to maintain that denial and compliance, and will never ever be able to like wake up. Of those individuals, you will have those which can never wake up, but you can also have those individuals who are capable of change. If you go to them and say, here are the tools for survival, here's what's really going on, here's how you survive it, here's how you maneuver it, here's how you talk to people, they will absorb that and become new people. So I have a little bit of more hope for those people. And the reason I have more hope for those people than probably any of them is because of the fact that they have gone through trial by fire after trial by fire and have come out so maligned and so harmed and so devastated and so walked over and so kicked around by life that they have no other choice but to individuate. They have no other choice than to pick up the tools of survival and say, okay, what do I need to do? Whereas those individuals who have never really suffered, they're less likely to, you know, pick up those tools. Those individuals who, you know, never went through anything bad, like at the end of the day with the COVID experience, for instance. They didn't lose their job. They didn't lose their friends. They, you know, they came out pretty unscathed and pretty, you know, pretty okay with everything. They don't have a reason to want to pick up the tools. They don't have a reason, and they certainly don't want to be hated. Oh my goodness, no. When they got the scent of the fact, when they got just a hint of condemnation from their friends and family regarding their position on COVID, they fell apart. So, you know, those individuals are going to have a very hard time with people like me. However, there is hope. There is hope for, you know, some of those individuals. I'm sure of it, but it's probably a little more challenging for them than for those people who have just been in this deep space of deep, deep denial and have suffered life, some of the most tragic circumstances in life. These are the people that I think would be open, more open than anyone, to the tools of survival and, you know, what's necessary to survive. So that's kind of where we are now, in our thought process, in our emotional, spiritual, physical, and intellectual space. There is no way that we could have gone through what we have been going through since January 1st, without sitting down and checking in with things like The Art of War, which we did. We checked it out of the library a couple of weeks ago and we read through it. Reading some, you know, passages from Carl Jung, going deep into individuals who are influenced by Carl Jung and have open, intelligent discussions and dialogue about shadow, individuation, transcending. We wouldn't have been able to survive the situation at JP's work. We wouldn't have been able to survive my health situation. We wouldn't have been able to survive what happened in February, which was a job loss. And a host of other issues that have come up that have just put us into these really tragic spaces this year alone. So without these methods, we wouldn't be able to survive. We'd be in a completely separate space. So, and these methods may not be well received by friends. They may not be well received by patrons. They may not be well received by family. But we had to pick up the tools for survival. You know, just ask yourself if you ever had, you know, someone threaten to break your arm or punch you in the face for not wearing a mask. Raise your hand. No? Okay. Well, then I have. So that's the difference between me and you is, you know, I have to do things to survive, and that's that. So I think that the rest of the week is going to be interesting. Like I said, I have this thing going on Thursday with the probate court where the judge is going to approve me being able to audit the bank accounts or not. She may want more information. And again, it's all about following the money because I'm running an investigation is how I'm treating this. My brothers are thinking of it differently, but I need to investigate what happened to her. My curiosity and my anger at those individuals who were surrounding her for all those years and basically just tearing her life apart with no thought and no care about anything that she held precious or dear. Memories of her deceased son, my father, he died way too young in 2007. Heirlooms that were gifted to her, hand-tooled, beautiful photographs, you know, in a beautiful hand-tooled album that was handed to her on her wedding day. These are things that should have gone to her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, tossed in the dumpster. Just an utter disregard for human life. And I think this is what we're dealing with also on a macro. So what I'm dealing with regarding the utter disregard and just treating my grandmother as if she were garbage is what the macro is also experiencing it, but they're not able to articulate it. They're not able to use the tools necessary to investigate it and to bring to light the fraudsters and the individuals that are part of this, like, complete derelict behavior, you know? But because I'm dealing with it on a micro, when I see it happening all around me on the macro, I can process it better than most. How's that? And this is what I'm trying to say. This is where we are. COVID and everything that surrounded it was the beginning of a conversation. It wasn't the end. You can't put a period at the end of that sentence and say, I survived and now I can just go back to normal. 42 million people are probably going to starve. There are open public executions smeared all over your social media pages and all over the news to tell you what? This is your new normal. Okay, and those are just the obvious ones. So you have to individuate, you have to evolve, you have to move into those healthier spaces and identify your own shadow in order to be able to process the collective darkness that really is taking over. And what part did you play in allowing the psychopaths and the predators to have access to your children in school? What part did you play to allow those types of individuals to have access to your husbands at their jobs? What part did you play in allowing those individuals to have access to your friends and to your family and to your churches and to your, even down to your bookstores and your grocery stores? And it is not a liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican thing. It is a collective shadow darkness where there are individuals, there are human beings who revel in and bask in and find great joy and satisfaction in public executions, the destruction of life. Anti-life doesn't even come close to what these people are. The darkness has cultivated itself. It's now baked into the soil that you stand on. And this is what I'm trying to say here, is that it is so deeply embedded into our own consciousness and into our own world that you have to, I mean, I do, you don't, you can do whatever you want, but I have to start breaking free and tearing away. And in that tearing away process comes an extraordinary amount of pain. So much so that there's a fucking tumor in my heart. Or so much so that my husband's life has been threatened at his job. When you tear away from that embedded darkness and you start to describe it as it is effectively, and you start to really shine a light on it and describe things as they are. I am not here to make enemies. I am literally here to describe a situation. And in that describing, there is a deep hatred of me that, you know, I'm okay with, because it means that I'm doing something right. So that's what I'm trying to say, is what in the fuck happened to our social commitment and our social contract to each other and to the earth and to the bountiful, beautiful earth that provides everything that we need. What happened to that contract that we allowed this malignancy to weave itself into our existence? Why was my sweet, wonderful friend in California the victim of so much gaslighting that he barely escaped California with his life when he decided to tear away from this horrible relationship? Why is another friend looking into empty bank accounts and is going to lose their SNAP benefits? Why? What did we do to make this happen? Where is the responsibility that we all have to say, okay, we got too lazy, we got too comfortable, we were too afraid of you know, pulling away from this slow trickle of embedded darkness because we didn't want to offend anyone? You know, why are there children, you know, every other child has autism and is on some sort of fucking disorder or has an autoimmune illness. Like, when did we just allow so much darkness and so much fucked up behavior? When did we allow it to take over our life? And I think that's where I am, and that's where I've been for a long time, but I haven't really spoken out about it. COVID was the beginning of the conversation. It was a tiny little salt granule of a test. It was the very, very beginning of a conversation. It wasn't the end. And as long as we, I guess what we'll just all have to do is individuate and transcend in our own time. You know, some people do it faster than others. Some people experience their tragedy on a micro and are able to articulate it to the macro, you know, because they've experienced it personally. So I guess that's where we are. So it's been over an hour. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and for staying with me this long. It is my wedding anniversary, so I'm going to read a little bit more about Ouroboros and infinity and all that, because everything feels just so aligned and perfect today. And check in with JP, of course, who is at work, and hopefully he's doing well. Make sure you send us emails, think good thoughts, and we'll get through it. All right. Thanks. Bye.